Well, for many generations of children here in this country, it was compulsory viewing on the afternoon TV schedule with a grumpy blackboard, a riddle-loving steam shovel, and a curiously long pencil for a nose. Mr. Squiggle wowed and entertained for more than 40 years. Well, now the National Museum of Australia has acquired the Norman Hetherington collection of puppets, scripts, and even some of the squiggles sent in by adoring young fans. Maybe that was your squiggle that was up on the screen. I'd love to know if that was yours that made it to the TV. But what I want to know is what else the museum should be considering that really captures your generation, whatever that is. Maybe it's Billy Birmingham's 12th Man cassette tapes. Classics of the genre. Maybe it's a Kermit the Frog green Holden Kingswood with a bench seat at the front. Perhaps it's a panel van at the back. Maybe it's iced Vovos or simply the expression, look at me, Kimmy, look at me. These are the sorts of artifacts we cherish in this country, and perhaps they should be put up in the museum, an exhibition, if you like. I want to hear the things from your childhood, the kitscher the better of growing up in Australia that might form a wonderful new exhibition for the National Museum. On the text line, Jim says, Ian Fairweather's polo neck jumper, or Brian Henderson, the famous newsreader's horn-rimmed glasses, Slim Dusty's hat as well. And someone sent me a wonderful picture, really took me back looking at this little photograph. The craze of troll-like little figures that were stuck on the top of pencils. You remember those little fuzzy-haired things with rainbow colours? And this one too, Stephen Hobart says, for the National Museum, please consider an exhibition of billy carts from the 1950s to 60s, especially ball-bearing wheels, so maximum noise can be created to annoy the public and not tip over. Endless childhood fun, says Steve from Hobart. You can join this conversation, 0418226576. Dr. Sophie Jensen is the National Museum's Assistant Director of Discovery and Collections. There's some good ideas there, Sophie. I hope you've been taking notes.
Can I just say, Andy, my pen is out and I am absolutely taking notes. It's a great conversation to have, and it is actually wonderful to hear what does spark people's memory and nostalgic kind of connections with Australian culture in this way.
Tell me about Norman Hetherington. Tell me about this collection. Tell me a bit about his career and creative force behind Mr. Squiggle.
It's an incredible collection. This is honest to goodness a career highlight for me, I think, to bring this collection here, over 800 items that really span Norman Hetherington's entire artistic career, right through from his time in the Army Entertainment Unit during World War II, his time working cartooning for the Bulletin. He then, props from his kind of theatre productions, hundreds of puppets that he was using in shows, in theatres, in department stores, which used to have theatres within them, and right through then to his years on Australian television. Of course, before Mr. Squiggle, he was on the opening night of ABC television with two puppets, Nicky and Noodle, which probably is going back too long for some people to remember, but an incredible television moment.
Late 50s?
It was the first night of Australian television, in ABC television. So 56, Nicky and Noodle actually ran through for a few years until 1959. And then it was just because Nicky and Noodle were taking a little rest and they said, why don't you bring in that puppet that you talked about, the one that can draw? And Mr. Squiggle, Norman Hetherington, had just 6 days to kind of get everything ready to come in for the first filming session for Mr. Squiggle. So it was quite a hurried entrance into the world of television for Mr. Squiggle and his friends. But then, of course, he remained on our screens for 40 years. So an incredibly popular thing, I think, right from the moment that he entered into Australia's life.
There's obviously a lot of nostalgia tied up in people's childhoods, but there's also this wonderful nexus here of a man's life work. You know, he was obviously an adult. He wasn't a child enjoying this nostalgia. So he obviously understood children's imagination. Could you say that?
I think that's absolutely right. One of the things that I love most about this collection is that in each of the kind of iterations of Norman Hetherington's work, you start to see the threads that then come together and are expressed through Mr. Squiggle and his friends. So even in the Army Entertainment Unit, Norman Hetherington was up on stage as a lightning sketch artist, someone who was working incredibly quickly in front of a crowd, creating pictures and artworks in front of the audience's eyes. Quite often, actually, in that act, he would even swivel the easel upside down at the end to reveal the final picture, just in the way that eventually Mr. Squiggle
upside down.
So you see, and even in his cartoons, which you see, you know, he's working as a cartoonist from 16 years old, working in the Bulletin then, you know, for the years from 1945 to 1961. And in a sense, those the puppets, you can very much see his style coming from the two dimensions of his cartoons and then into the three dimensions of his puppets. So in lots of ways, what you see in each of these elements of his career kind of all come together in this really wonderful creation that, I mean, obviously it really captured people's attention and kind of, I think still you see people's joy in the creativity of Mr. Squiggle, in the uniqueness of him as a character, and in the way that I think he inspired people to just pick up a pen and draw.
Far be it for me to destroy a nation's childhood, but I've always wondered about how the upside-down drawing took place. You must have learnt a little bit about some of the tricks and skill involved. Can you reveal? Can we look behind the curtain here?
We can't. No. I refuse. But I think this is one of the things that I think you could say is that there was a particular magic to Norman Hetherington's squiggling.
The magic of TV, you might say?
No, I would actually say it is a magic of skill, but it is a trick, a technique that is closely held by the Hetherington family still. But I would say it was absolutely genuine and that it comes from a real genuine artistic talent. I watch in awe at those programs, watching, I guess, Norman Hetherington's skill as a puppeteer, which is its next level. And that is a genuine drawing puppet.
Very, very interesting. If you've just joined me, it's 27 past four. Dr. Sophie Jensen is the National Museum's Assistant Director of Discovering Collections. We're discussing the museum's acquisition of artist and puppeteer Norman Hetherington's Mr. Squiggle collection, puppets, scripts, sketches, the lot. I want to know from you what you think the museum should be looking at if it wants to capture your generation. There's some excellent suggestions here. Anthony from Hobart says Kerry O'Brien's green pen. Richard from Melbourne says Skippy's prop paws in close-ups, that kind of shocked kangaroo look, cutaway that you saw in the Skippy series. Lots of great memories here from this person talking about, even though they didn't grow up in Australia, the memory and the collective consciousness of a Hills hoist in every garden, used for having clothes. Children also had great joy climbing on them. Auntie Jack, catch candy, sea spray, the box number 96, Streets of San Francisco, Bill and Ben, the Flowerpot Men. Oh, that's a really trip down memory lane. Wonderful suggestions on the text line, 0418 226576. Just lastly, Sophie, what goes into deciding the relevance of the kinds of exhibitions you hold? Because obviously this is a bit of a no-brainer, but if people were sitting at home, sitting on a couple of artifacts of nostalgia, of Australiana kitsch, how would they best get it to you, and what sort of things are you looking for?
Look, we're always interested in hearing what people have got in their backyards, in their sheds, on their mantelpieces. We have a wonderful website that looks a lot at the kind of things that we collect and the kind of things that we're interested in. But you're exactly right that one of our key things that we're looking for in the collection is really representing those iconic moments in Australian lives and culture. When you look at the cars that we drove, the television programs, programs that we watched, a lot of this comes down to the I played, I watched, I owned, I remember, I wore. And though, when you get a certain mass appeal of those things, that's when you really capture the kind of essence of a generation. We've got some kind of items in the collection that really do represent that in terms of your Hills hoists, your Victor lawn mowers, the Holdens that people drive. So much of it, though, is about their particular people that are iconic for particular generations, and that takes a little more work on our part. But ideas and conversations like this are the kind of thing that generate the collections that we love.
Who says we don't have a rich vein of culture in this country? Dr. Sophie Jensen is the National Museum's Assistant Director of Discovery and Collections. Really great to talk to you, Sophie. Thanks for your time.
Thanks very much, Andy.
And if you're keen to see that display of Norman Hetherington's Mr. Squiggle collections, maybe one of the squiggles you sent in for the puppet to complete might be there. It's on at the National Museum until the 16th of May.